Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Hi, this is Paul Chappell, and I want to introduce you to Striving Together Publications, the publications ministry of Lancaster Baptist Church and West Coast Baptist College. Our desire is to strive together for the faith of the gospel with you and other like-minded Christians as we provide sound biblical resources for your spiritual growth. At strivingtogether.com, you will find a growing collection of outstanding books, Sunday school curriculum for all ages, conservative Christian music, outreach and discipleship resources, and many other tools for your personal and spiritual growth. You'll also find a variety of tools for your local church ministry. Be sure to visit strivingtogether.com and let us know how we can help you and your church grow in God's grace.
Have you noticed that times are changing? Well, believe it or not, the Bible has a lot to say about changing times. Next on Daily in the Word with Paul Chappell, we have an all-new series entitled Times Are Changing. We're going to discover what the Bible has to say about what's happening in our world today. Stay with us. When it comes to predicting the future, the Bible is 100% accurate. Friend, let that sink in for a moment. 100% accurate. It's never been wrong. It never will be wrong because it's the Word of God. And when it comes to today's headlines and the economic and political unfoldings of our day, the Bible is 100% accurate as to the meaning and the direction of these events. It's amazing that God, thousands of years ago, gave us an unfolding description of what's happening before our very eyes on the world scene. Times are changing. That's the topic of this series. It's an all-new series preached recently at Lancaster Baptist Church with Dr. Paul Chappell. Pastor Chappell is the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and the president and founder of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. And this program comes to you every Monday through Friday on this station. And we look forward to this series, Times Are Changing. If you'd like to subscribe to the daily podcast, you can take Daily in the Word with you and listen to it on your computer or iPod. You can also subscribe to a daily devotional from Dr. Chappell. All of this and much more when you visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Again, that's dailyintheword.org. Our final message in this series really visits all of the practical applications and the truths that we can draw from a study in Bible prophecy. It's entitled The Admonitions of Bible Prophecy, 2 Peter chapter 3. Here's Pastor Chappell.
And he said, I want you to remember my broken body and my shed blood until I come. And they did not have recording cameras and television stations in the days of Jesus Christ. And so rather than leaving a video, he left for us this matter of the Lord's table, this time of communion, that we might remember him until he comes. And he says, I want you, as you drink that juice and as you take that bread and that wafer, to remember me until I come, and to remember his sacrifice, and to remember his soon return. John chapter 14 and verse 1, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also. And you see, we are challenged in the Word of God in light of His coming to be steadfast in our responsibilities and steadfast in our remembering of the Lord Jesus Christ. A challenge to steadfastness. Notice, secondly, if you would, a challenge to sanctification. Now, God not only wants His children moving forward and living for Him, but He also wants us to be living a life of sanctification. Now, 1 Thessalonians 5 speaks of this. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me speak briefly about the doctrine of sanctification. There are two aspects of it. First, there is what we would call positional. Positional sanctification speaks of my position in Jesus Christ. That is, when I accept Jesus Christ as Savior, His blood is applied to my account, and positionally I am forgiven. My sins are as far as the east is from the west. His Holy Spirit seals me until the day of my redemption. Once again, I am sanctified by God. I am set apart by God. How many of you are thankful today that positionally you have been set apart unto God? Amen. You are sanctified. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. But beside my position, there is the practical matter of sanctification. That is my daily walk. It is not just a matter of being a member of the family. It is a matter of acting like a member of the family. You are a member of a family today, but there are some people who never even recognize their family. They never have any interaction with their family. God says, I want you practically to interact with me. I want you to be growing closer to me. And so sanctification is a doctrine in light of the coming of Christ. Now the modern church knows little of sanctification, cares little for sanctification, practices little in the matter of sanctification, and some churches mock the very doctrine of sanctification. And yet God calls us to live a sanctified life. He wants us to be sanctified first from this world system. You've read it in the Bible. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. God says all the things that are of the world are to be avoided. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. Now notice this world system in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. It's in your notes there. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him. Did you catch that? Once again, we're going to be challenged in light of the fact that one day we're going to gather together unto Him. All right, verse 2. That ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, neither by letter that is from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day, speaking of that eternal day beginning with the rapture of the church, that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Of course, this speaks of the Antichrist. And the Bible speaks of how the world will change before the Antichrist takes his place in power. And a few significant events are mentioned in this text. First, the Bible says, before the Antichrist will have his power, there will come a falling away from the truth. There will be people who were in church who are no longer in church. But more than that, people who said Jesus Christ was the only way, who begin to equivocate, compromise, who become pragmatic and buy into the pluralism of the day and buy into the idea that all religions lead to the same place. It is a falling away, verse number 3, from the truth. The Greek word for falling away, apostasia. We sometimes call it apostasy. And there are churches today who are more concerned about saving the whales than they are saving souls. And there are churches today more concerned about climate change than people changing. And so now we have churches today who have long stopped preaching the gospel, and many today who are members of the World Council of Churches this week, I read in the Associated Press, are going to be ringing the bells of their churches 352 times to signal the need for climate change. By the way, this church is not and will not ever be, according to our Constitution, members of the World Council of Churches. The Bible says, what? Know ye not? We're to come out and be separate. We are not to walk together except we be agreed. And so we're not going to be a part of any organization that would include Taoist and Buddhist and Baptist and every other kind of a group that wants to ring bells concerning climate change, but won't ring a bell to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. Now, the simple fact is this. There's an apostasy. Many of these churches were paid for by people who believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But now there's been a falling away, and that falling away is happening even to this very moment. A falling away from truth. And as truth is left behind, there will come a one world gathering. There will come a one world leader who will establish himself, according to this passage, as an object of worship, so that he as God, verse 4, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And by the way, the globalization, the positioning for such a time is well underway. We studied several weeks ago the revived Roman Empire known as the European Union, now 27 nation members of the European Union. The European Union will vote for the first time in their history for a president. The significant fact is simply this, that the region known as the Roman Empire that is now coming back together, by the way, as the euro is going up, guess what's going down? The dollar. And as America is weakening spiritually, morally, and economically, the global system is strengthening day by day. And as the global system is strengthening, there is coming a leader to this organization whose worldwide influence is yet to be known. The simple fact of the matter is we do not know who the Antichrist will be definitively. We simply see globalization on the rise, the Roman Empire on the rise, now for the first time in world history, electing their president this week. And God says, I want you to shun this world system that leaves Christ behind and embraces pluralism in the name of tolerance. I want you to shun this world system that continuously looks for a one world leader. God says, I want you to be sanctified from all of that, and remember that you serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And though you may be an outcast because you believe in Jesus Christ, stand up for Jesus as a soldier of the cross of Jesus Christ. Be set apart from this world system. Secondly, we're to be set apart from this world's sin. You see, if we're going to be sanctified since Jesus is coming, then we're to be set apart from the sin of this world. Again, that's the practical sanctification. This past week, I took my wife into the emergency room. She's developed a blood clot, and I appreciate your prayers for her. And the radiologist said, get over to the ER as quickly as possible. And so we did, and we sat there for probably 2 or 3 hours waiting for our turn for our appointment. And as we were waiting, obviously, and I never have quite figured this out, why they take so many sick and hurting people and then their caregivers that are with them and put them all in the same room. And you just kind of wait there, sort of like the man at the pool of Bethesda, hoping for an angel to open the door. And you're sitting there, and besides my immediate concern for my wife and her health, my other concern was for me because of all the germs in that room. People are very sick, and I won't get into all the demonstration of it, but very, very sick. And a lot of people had on yellow masks. I could not find where those were being dispensed. I wanted one. The only thought I had in my mind was to sit near the door, thinking that when the door opened, the wind would come and blow the germs away from me. I'm a new grandfather. You have to get the context of this. I'm thinking, before I can hold my grandson, I need to take a shower. I need to spray disinfectant spray on my body. I need to gargle scope. I don't want to bring the H1N1 virus to him. People were having sickness all around me. We get up, move, and finally got by the door. And I was doing everything I can in the midst of, by the way, visiting many members of our church, helping one of our members out to his car in a wheelchair and all that type of thing. I was doing everything I could to try to avoid germs. And I got to thinking about that this week. Why is it that many times we'll do everything we can to avoid germs that cause sickness, but we don't guard our mind and our heart from the temptation and sin that will ruin our lives? Why will a mother argue with a nursery worker, making sure that the toys are properly disinfected, and then let that same child a few years later watch MTV? Why do we not come to the place of understanding there is a devil, there are demons, there is sin and temptation that hurts people and hurts the testimony of God, and therefore we must be watchful, 1 Peter 4:7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer, James 5:8. Be ye patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. We must be watchful, we must be godly, Titus 2:11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation unto all men hath appeared unto all men. What does it do? It doesn't just save us. It teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. My friend, God says the same grace that saves us is the grace that motivates us to live a godly life in this world, and that we are to be sanctified as we look, verse 13, for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of that great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Romans 13:11, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Now you listen to me. If you call yourself a Christian and you believe that Jesus Christ is coming again, then what manner of person ought ye to be? And how should you be different tomorrow because you believe that Jesus may come? Oh friend, it's worthy of our thought and consideration. Look at 1 John 3:3. Don't listen to me. Listen to the word of God. 1 John 3:3. Every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. Do you have that hope in you? Do you believe if the rapture came that you would be with the Lord? Then purify yourself. Sanctify yourself. Repent of your sin. My friend, if you have to come to the altar every day to confess of thoughts and deeds that are wrong, if you've got to spend extended periods of time in prayer and Bible reading to get some things right, do whatever it takes. But don't hear the trumpet sound and have your life emboldened in sin, my friend. Sanctification. A woman was one day watching a silversmith as he worked. And he was putting the fire to the ore. And the impurities were going one way and the silver was coming another way into a basin. And the woman was intrigued. And she watched the silversmith and finally she said to him, she said, "Now, how do you know when the silver is fully refined? How do you know when the burning is over and now the refinement has taken place?" He said, "Oh, that's easy." He said, "I know that the refining is over when I can look into the silver and see my face. And you will know that the refining is over, and you will know that the repentance has made its work when you can see the face of Jesus Christ through your life. When Jesus is seen in your life, and there must be a desire to live a watchful life and a godly life, and thirdly, may I say, a loving life until Jesus comes again." 1 Thessalonians 3:12, "And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another." Verse 13, "To the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints." This is Love Your Neighbor Week. This is a time to say, not only do I want to put off that sinful life, but I want to put on that godly life. This is a part of my sanctification to the end that I may be blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be found faithful for Him at this time. Oh, friend, there's a challenge given in light of prophecy that we would be steadfast. There's a challenge given that we would be sanctified or set apart. And let me share with you thirdly and finally, we would be remiss if we did not mention this challenge. There is a challenge this morning to salvation. You can be a member of Lancaster Baptist Church and not be saved. You can be a member of any church and not be saved. You don't get saved by joining the church. You get saved by receiving Christ as your Savior. Oh, make sure, my friend, that you're ready for that day when Jesus comes again. That you will not be left behind, but that you will be with Him in glory. Now, to be saved, there is a required decision. There's a decision that's required in order to be saved. And we read about it in John chapter 3. And you're familiar with the story as Jesus spoke to Nicodemus, a man who had religion but did not have a Savior. And Jesus said to that man in John 3, 5, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again." Now we turn later into the Gospels and we see the Lord Jesus Christ has died on the cross of Calvary. And now he's being taken to the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. And as he's being taken to that tomb, there is a man accompanying that processional. And his name is Nicodemus. And I believe that is testimony of the fact that Nicodemus, by faith, had chosen Jesus Christ as his Savior. My friend, has there been a day in your life when you realized that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, that you were a sinner who could not save himself, and that you prayed and asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart and save you? If you have made that decision, it is the most important decision you ever made in your life. You must be born again, Jesus said. He didn't suggest it. He mandated it. You must be born again. And may I say, if you have made that decision, it will be a revealed decision. That is, you'll know when someone is saved. I don't believe any of us have the right to judge someone else as it pertains to their salvation. But let me simply say this. When someone accepts Christ as Savior, I do believe biblically there will be fruit evidenced from that decision. Their life will have some change wrought about by the Holy Spirit of God. How much and when is between them and God. But there is no question that there will be the presence of the Holy Spirit who convicts and who changes and leads us into sanctification. The Bible says in 1 John 2:28, "And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. If ye know that He is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. My friend, if there's something I do that is right and pleasing to God, it's not me doing it. It's his Spirit doing it through me. There's nothing good in Paul Chapel. There's nothing good in you other than the presence of the Holy Spirit of God, who will bring fruit and who will bring righteousness. And when someone is saved, it's going to be revealed in the way that they live. Lauren McCain was one of the students killed at Virginia Tech back in 2007. April 16th, 2007, this young lady from Shawnee, Oklahoma, was indiscriminately shot by a gunman as he went into Virginia Tech. They began to try to put the pieces of the puzzle together, much like they're doing with this Islamic terrorist who shot so many people at Fort Hood. And they try to figure out, was this done? Were these people known of the man, or were they known of one another? And they began to try to put the pieces together, and they went to the personal webpage of Lauren McCain. And in their attempt to understand her and if she was connected to the gunman, they looked on her personal webpage. And she had at the top of her webpage these words: "The purpose and love of my life is Jesus Christ. I don't have to argue religion, philosophy, or historical evidence, because I know him." The decision that she had made for Christ was revealed in her life. It was revealed on her webpage. And I ask you, my friend, with all due respect, if someone visited your webpage tomorrow, would it look like the average unregenerate man telling merely the minor, unnecessary, mundane things about food and places you like to go? And would it perhaps even resemble some of the carnal side of those who speak in ways they should not speak? Would your webpage even mention the name of Jesus Christ? Because if you're a believer living a sanctified life, there shouldn't be much time elapse when you talk with someone else before they figure out you are a servant of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. America is going to hell in a handbasket because of undercover Christians who are just a little too ashamed to be too vocal about it. But I say to you that someone that is saved, they are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There may be those in this room, like those mentioned in the book of Jude, who are going to simply remove themselves someday, maybe quietly, maybe friendly-like, maybe not, and remove themselves away and say, you know, I just don't know if I can take the doctrine. Like the disciples in John chapter 6, who said to Jesus Christ when he preached that he was the bread of life, and they said, this is an hard saying, who can take it? My friend, if they would walk away on Jesus Christ, they'll be walking away from other churches. Why? Because it's called the apostasy. But if you are the disciple of Jesus Christ, then in light of the fact that he's coming again, my friend, today would be a good day to start living for him. Amen. Today would be a good day to start saying, you know what? In light of the fact he's coming again, I want to live my life with more steadfastness, with more sanctification, and surely I want to know that I'm saved and ready for that day. I leave you with the words of Jesus, Revelation 22, 7. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book.
I just want to encourage you with this simple thought. God loves you, and Jesus Christ paid the price on the cross for your sin. His shed blood and his resurrection make it possible for anyone who will turn to him to be saved. It's not about trusting in a church. It's not about giving money. It's not about anything we do. It's already been done by Jesus Christ. The price has been paid. If you have never accepted Christ as your Savior, why don't you take a moment right now and simply say, Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I am a sinner, and I turn to you today and trust you to be my Savior. I ask you to make me your child and take me to heaven someday. Friend, if you said that prayer and meant it, then by the grace of God, you have been saved. Your sins have been forgiven. And if you have said that prayer, why don't you call us here at Daily in the Word and let us know what God has done in your life today.
Well, thank you, Pastor. Friend, you've been listening to Daily in the Word and the teaching and preaching of Paul Chapel. This program comes to you every Monday through Friday, and you can find out more information about our program, our ministry, our daily devotional, and the daily podcast when you visit us at dailyinthword.org. Again, that's dailyinthword.org. We sure enjoy hearing from you as a listener and knowing that Daily in the Word is touching your life on a daily basis. This month, our gift to you when you call or write to us is the mini book, Done, What Most Religions Don't Tell You About the Bible. This book, Done, is a paperback 112-page presentation of the gospel. It will do two things. It will help you as a Christian understand how to better share your faith, but more importantly, it would be a great resource to pass along to someone that you're hoping will come to Christ. If you know someone, a relative, a coworker, a neighbor, who hasn't come to Christ and you've tried to share the gospel with them, this is a great way to pass the gospel along to them and encourage them to read this book. We receive emails every week of people all across the country that have trusted Christ as a result of Done, What Most Religions Don't Tell You About the Bible. This is our gift to you this month when you call or write to us at Daily in the Word. You can call us toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. Once again, 1-800-201-7748. You can also visit us at dailyintheword.org and click on the email link. And finally, you can send a letter to 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Once again, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. Be sure to visit us at dailyintheword.org. And until next time, have a great day.